ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
God pours out His last judgment upon a Christ-rejecting world that is focused upon the kingdom of Satan, who's called the Prince of the Power of the Air. Think about all the television programs we see today. How are they sent forth? Over the air. Some would say, well, cable now. Look at the wickedness that is out there. Radio, same thing. All the wickedness. I mean, you listen to some of the music and you wonder, how do they even allow it on the air? Now, I do have to admit, you know, when I was growing up, I listened to a lot of rock and roll. But to be honest with you, half the time I didn't know really what the words said. I kind of made them up. You know, we didn't always have all the words on the back of the album like there was later on. In fact, when I found out what some of the songs said, I couldn't believe it. So God pours out His last judgment upon the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, and all that he's doing. And it's finished then. Paid in full. It's done. The door of opportunity for man to enter into relationship with God is closed. That's the tragedy. And I believe it closed when that angel flew across the heavens proclaiming the everlasting gospel towards the end of the tribulation period. When that time period came, that was it. Now, if you received the mark of the beast, you couldn't be saved. But for those that didn't, there's still an opportunity. But that door closed when you rejected the gospel message. And there's one judgment that is left for them. Yet now, for a period of time, for 1,000 years, they'll be in hell. A temporary holding area until the great white throne judgment. Well, that will be the final judgment. And we'll deal with that as we get to that in Revelation. But the final judgment, the great white throne judgment, every person that's rejected Jesus Christ will be judged for the things that they have done in this life. And they will be punished for all that they have done. Now people say, well, wait a minute, I thought we're not judged by our work, for our works. No, you're going to hell, eternal darkness, because you rejected Jesus Christ. Now you have to atone for the sins that you have committed upon this earth. You see, Jesus paid them in full for us. But if you reject that, then you are going to have to pay for them. You will have to endure the punishment because you rejected the free gift that Jesus has given us. One writer said, will you endure the final wrath of God at Megiddo, or will you embrace the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary? Yeah, it's a choice. It is done, it is finished, paid in full. We saw that on Calvary when Jesus cried out. The work was completed. That's why I'm always amazed at people when they try and add to the work of God. If I come to your house and I'm doing electrical work at your house, God forbid, right? You don't want me doing electrical work at your house. But say I'm coming to your house and I'm redoing all your electrical stuff, and I tell you, the work is finished, it's completed, nothing else needs to be done. And then you go around and you start fixing things, changing things. Wait a minute, I just told you it was finished, nothing needs to be done. Now you're making the project not complete anymore. You're ruining the project. Well, that's exactly what we're doing when we say, well, thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. And I'm doing this for you, and I'm doing that for you, and that should help get me in more, right? No. It's finished. You know, I'm not a big abstract artist fan. I'm more for the real thing. I want to see the real thing, you know. Like Michelangelo's the David. I'm always amazed at the how do you cut that out of stone, man? I can't even draw a picture like that, let alone carve it out of marble. But he did. And it's beautiful. But what if I go to that statue and I put, you know, sunglasses on, a little earring, you know, some beads on him? Would I make that work better or would I cheapen it? I would cheapen it. And that's what we do when we try to add to the work of Christ. Say I invite you over to dinner and we have a wonderful meal. We have a great fellowship time. And as you're leaving, you hand me $20 for the meal. No, what are you doing? This is free gift to you. You came to my house. I'm giving this to you. Oh, no, here's $20. No, that's what we're doing with Jesus. When we say, hey, I need to work my way in. No, you don't. It's finished. It's completed. And I'm so thankful it is. Because, you know, that's why I can have an assurance of my salvation. Because the work's completed. Remember, what did Jesus do when he ascended up into heaven? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And that tells me the work was done and the Father accepted the work. Do you realize that in the temple itself there were no chairs? Do you know why? Because the work was never completed. They had to keep offering sacrifices over and over and over again. Because the blood of bulls and goats can never take away your sins, but the blood of Jesus can. And there's the difference. The work is done, and here the judgment of God is going to be complete. It's going to be over. And you know what comes next? The establishment of the kingdom age. And can you imagine what that's going to be like? You know, Steve, Angie, and I were talking tonight about how cold it is outside. Is it because we're older that we're feeling it more? I don't know. But you know what? In the kingdom age, it's going to be beautiful temperature. You know, no one's going to complain it's too hot. No one's going to complain it's too cold. It's going to be perfect. All over the world, like it was when God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we know that the whole earth was tropical at one time because there's tropical vegetation under the ice in Antarctica. So we know that, even though they don't like to talk about it. But there must have been some real global warming back then, huh? I love the announcement. It is done. Look at verse 18. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, every hailstone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Now, the earth has seen a lot of devastating earthquakes, but those will pale into comparison to what's coming. And Paul kind of plays on that in Hebrews 12, verses 25 through 29. He says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.' Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire." That is great news. All that's of God is going to remain. All that's not is going to be destroyed. And we're going to see that. We're going to see religious Babylon destroyed, commercial Babylon destroyed, the power of the Antichrist destroyed. Everything that man has placed his hope in is going to be taken away. And how does that apply to us today? Well, think about it. What are we placing our hope in? The next political candidate, the next job we have, the next this, the next that. Or are we placing our hope in Jesus? I'm not saying we ignore the things that are going on in the world, but don't place your hope in those things. You pray for godly leaders in this country. You pray for morality to come back. But you also have to understand, things are going to get dark. And I don't know about you, but man, I've told you this before. I don't feel comfortable in this world anymore. I don't fit in. Because the world is getting more and more evil. And they promote more and more evil things. What is being done to children today would have been child abuse years ago. And that is so sad. Breaks my heart. How do you let a child decide what gender they are? How do you do that? I mean, do you let your, a three-year-old cook on the stove because they want to? Of course you don't. Because they're children. They don't know right from wrong. And you're the adult and you're supposed to be training them up. And look at what you're doing to them. Shame on you. Tony's taken a lot of heat for his stance. He's kind of poked the bear, which is good. The bear needed to be poked. And it's good to see what happened in the elections. But it was interesting because someone was coming against him. I think this was from the library post that he had up there about some of the things that were going on. And they basically were saying, don't ban books, and all that. Because there's all, there's immoral books that our kids are reading. They shouldn't be reading them. When I was a kid, I couldn't go to the store and pick up a Playboy. Why do kids allowed to read books like that today? But I'm getting off. But anyway, the interesting thing is one woman put on there, well, they're going to learn this from their friends or other people, so they might as well learn it in school. I thought, oh my gosh, are you crazy? And I was so thankful someone put on there then, it's not the school's responsibility to teach our children these things. It's the parents that are responsible. And if these books are wrong, then they shouldn't be in there. Amen. Thank you for taking a stand like that. Okay, that's my soapbox. Sorry. Isaiah kind of talks about this time and how violent it's going to be. He talked in Isaiah 24, verses 19 through 23, we're told this. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaking exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and will be shut up in the prison. After many days they will be punished. Then the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed. For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. Isaiah says the earth is going to stagger to and fro like a drunkard. What does that mean? Is it possible that there's going to be an axis shift and the earth is going to kind of wobble a little? Some say the magnetic poles are changing some. And will that distort it? It's very possible. Maybe no longer be at that 23.5 degree tilt. If it happened and the Lord replaced that canopy around the earth, there would be tropical conditions all over the earth. There'd be no storms. It would be like when the earth was created and there was no rain. There was a mist that came up and watered the ground until the flood, and then things changed. And probably then was when the axis tilted and we have all these changes in climates. What's interesting to me is that we had this tsunami several years back that was caused by this earthquake, and the Earth's axis shifted ever so slightly, just with an earthquake. Interesting. But when God shakes this earth, people are going to feel it. The great city, Jerusalem, is going to be divided into three parts, so the topography of Jerusalem is all going to be changed. Zechariah says Mount of Olives is going to split in two. A new valley running east and west is going to be created. A spring of water will flow year-round from Jerusalem to the Mediterranean and Dead Sea, and the deserts will blossom. And it's interesting, the Dead Sea won't be dead anymore. People will be fishing in the Dead Sea, which I find interesting. Life will be brought back to it. Jerusalem is going to be elevated and the surrounding region flattened into a plain. And the reason Jerusalem is going to be elevated is that's where the Lord's going to be. And he's always in a high position. So it's interesting, Jerusalem itself, when you go to Jerusalem and you read in the scriptures, you could be coming from the north and they'll say they went up to Jerusalem. Well, that makes no sense. They went down to Jerusalem. They were up in the north, they're going south. Jerusalem was elevated. And so they always went up to Jerusalem. And thus, when this temple is rebuilt, the area is huge. It's going to be elevated, so all will see as they're traveling to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. To prepare Jerusalem for the king and his millennial reign, Isaiah 24:23 says, "The moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously." Where is the Lord going to be? Jerusalem. Not Manitowoc? Not Chicago? New York? Well, definitely not L.A., but you know what I mean. No, Jerusalem. You know, people want to say the Jews are done away with, but when you look at the scriptures, that's the whole focus of these last days, is Israel. This is the last seven-year period that was prophesied in Daniel chapter 9 for the children of Israel. 77-year periods were determined upon God's people. 69 of those seven-year periods were fulfilled when Jesus rode through Jerusalem as Messiah the King. That last seven-year period still needs to be completed. And it hasn't yet, but it will. And if you look... All right, I'm just going to go there because I'm not going to remember it from the top of my head. But listen to the focus here in Daniel chapter 9. What this is going to finish, this last seven-year period, this really all the 70 weeks, but it ends with the closing of that last seven-year period of time. Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. Why? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. There it is. How does it end? The most holy. Our Lord and Savior is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. This is the promise that God made to the children of Israel, that the Messiah will sit and rule and reign from the throne of David. And that hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. The hailstones spoken of here in Revelation chapter 16, some 75 to 100 pounds. Can you imagine that? The largest hailstone ever recorded, as far as I can find, was 2 pounds. This is 75 to 100. Can you imagine a 2-pound hailstone? It would come right through this building. We've seen pretty large hail here in Manitowoc. I mean, I remember one of my cars, you know, it looked like a golf ball with all the pings in it. But nothing like this, 100-pound hailstone. Why hailstones? Did you ever think about that? Why would God use a hailstone? I mean, he could use anything, right? He could use meteors or whatever. Why hailstones? What's the punishment for blasphemy against God? Stoning. Leviticus 24, verses 15 and 16. "Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemies the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemies the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death." Wow. Revelation 16:21, "A great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great." So not only did they blaspheme God before the hail, when the hail comes, they're still blaspheming God. And the judgment is the stoning. All the suffering, all the pain, all this judgment that's come upon man, he still is blaspheming God. Spurgeon summed it up like this. He says, I have known people say, "Well, if I were afflicted, I might be converted. If I lay sick, I might be saved." Oh, do not think so. Sickness and sorrow of themselves are no helps to salvation. Pain and poverty are not evangelists. Disease and despair are not apostles. Look at the lost in hell. Suffering has effected no good in them. He that was filthy here is filthy there. He who is unjust in this life is unjust in the life to come. There is nothing in pain and suffering that, by their own natural operation, will tend to purification. Absolutely. God desires sinful man to turn to him. But there comes a point where judgment has to come. And David Marks was one of the most powerful evangelists in early American history. And he was born to godly Connecticut parents in 1805. And his whole awareness of God began very early in his life. And one of the things that started him thinking about Jesus was a day when he was watching some flax burn. And he heard of the fires of hell, and as he watched the flames, he thought how exceedingly dreadful even one moment in hell would be. And he said, you know, what would I do if the wrath of God fell on the earth? And he thought about it, and he decided that he should the day of judgment come, he would descend into the well and hide there. So he ran to his mother and shared his plan, and she replied, "Ah, my son, the water will boil and the earth will burn." He then said he would run to a spot he knew in the rocks where he could hide. And she said, the rocks will melt. He was so overwhelmed with dread that he told her he would just die and escape the wrath of God in the grave. And she replied, "My child, your hope is in vain, for the dead will awake and come out of their graves." Young David went outside and walked through the fields, pondering at length the reality of that coming day and his being unprepared for it. Putting his hand over his heart, he looked toward heaven and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Yeah, the reality of judgment. That's what God desires. Not easy. And when God establishes his kingdom, everything is going to be changed. The deserts are going to blossom. The lion's going to lay down with the lamb. The deaf, their ears will be open. The blind, their eyes will be open. The lame shall leap like a deer. Wow. What a day. Or the wolf shall lie down with the lamb. I like the lion too, but I'm sure they'll lie down together as well. But before this kingdom age is birthed, guys, there is coming a tribulation period. And prior to the tribulation period, the thing that's important for us is these pre-labor pains that we are going to endure before the tribulation period starts. And I think we're seeing them. I think we're seeing the beginning of these pre-labor pains that are preparing the way for the labor to come. We're not here for the tribulation period, not even for any part of it, because the Lord knows how to save the just and save punishment for the wicked. We're his bride. And God's judgment comes as that first seal is opened and the Antichrist is revealed. In fact, Revelation 3:10, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Who is this trial for? Earth dwellers. Are you an earth dweller? Well, not if you're a Christian. Why? Our citizenship is in heaven. You see, when I went to Russia, I was not a citizen of Russia. I was just visiting. I was passing through. I was an alien or stranger. My citizenship was in the United States. In Christ now, this is not my home. I'm passing through. My citizenship is in heaven. And so as the bride of Christ, before God pours out his wrath, he's going to take all of us home. And I'm so thankful for that. And I pray more and more would come to saving faith in Jesus so they do not have to endure this time. And I know some people, you know, they're kind of sarcastic about, "Oh, I'll just wait till the tribulation period, till the Antichrist is revealed, and then I'll get saved." And you understand, now is the age of grace, and it's pretty wonderful because you're probably going to be martyred for your faith in the tribulation period. Millions are. Today, here in America, it's not so bad. They do make fun of us, not a big deal. Other parts of the world, yeah, our brothers and sisters are being put to death. That's the wrath of man against us. What's coming is the wrath of God upon earth dwellers, and it's completely different. And so, as the Lord has said so many times in the scriptures, turn and live. Turn to him. Don't miss out, because the days are getting shorter, and it's time to come to Christ. And if you are a Christian, and I think everyone here is, it's not time to sit around and do nothing. It's time to go out and do the work. It's time to go and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. The Lord's coming back. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. And Lord, it's so... so wonderful to know that in the end, you're the victor, and you're going to establish your kingdom. And man can try as hard as he wants, and he's not going to be victorious. And yeah, there's a lot of evilness going on right now, but this is short-lived compared to eternity with you. And just help us to have that picture, Lord, so we don't get lose hope, that our eyes are always focused upon you. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.